Welcome to Renegade Radio, brought to you by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Atlanta Business Radio X. I'm your host, Andy Lowe, and we've got a great show for you guys today on the power of franchising. So let's get right into the introduction of our experts and their stories. I want to start with Barry Falcon from Shelf Genie. Now, Barry, your company is quite a success story. In just 4 years, you guys made it onto the Inc. 500 top franchises list, as well as the Entrepreneur Franchise 500. So give us the background of your company. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
We started franchising in 2008, and we make custom glide-out shelves for your existing kitchen cabinets. And currently, we have about 120 locations around the country. And people talk about the recession, and knock wood, we say, what recession? Our business has been up 30 to 40% year over year. We've been an Inc. 500 company the last couple of years. We're a top-rated entrepreneur franchise company for 2012 at number, I think, number 211 on the list. And we're up to probably almost 30 people in our home office here in Atlanta. And the growth has been great. We have a solid staff and some great franchisees around the country who really see our vision of taking care of people and providing solutions in their home.
Well, tell me about that. You said that you look around and say, recession, what recession? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, people talk about a down economy and construction is down. We all know that. But homeowners are staying in their home and they're remodeling and they're spending some money in their kitchen and bathrooms and things like that. So our average orders have been just really skyrocketing due to people not moving, not buying new houses. We're in the retrofit market. There's millions and millions of homes that are already existing. And so we go into your existing cabinets and make your life easier in the kitchen.
Well, I certainly know that trying to get things straightened out in the kitchen can be quite a mess. Tell me, what exactly are some of the solutions that Shelf Genie is going to provide to me to make my kitchen easier?
Well, you know, our target audience is probably people maybe a little over 40, but not in their 20s. We're going to turn shelves into drawers, and so every time you're bending over to find something in your kitchen or pantry, we're going to make it easy with the strength of a fingertip. You can just pull out a nice gliding drawer and find everything. You don't have to get on your hands and knees, get in the back, look for things. We got a great solution for a blind corner. People call it dead space, blind corner. We call it get on your hands and knees and with a flashlight and look in the back. And so we have a great solution that pulls those things right out to your fingertips. And it's no more four on the floor with a flashlight to get them. So that pie thing you needed, the baking pan you needed once a year at Thanksgiving or a holiday time, it's really right at your fingertips now.
Now, did you come up with this concept because of your own struggles around the kitchen, or was there another way that Shelf Genie came to existence?
Shelf Genie came to existence. Never dreamed I'd be in kitchen cabinets. It wasn't something that I grew up and said, that's what I want to do. But my partner, Alan Young, it was a small factory in Richmond, Virginia, and we've both been consultants and business advisors for years, and I've owned a couple of companies in the past. And it was one of Alan's clients, and we ended up buying a small manufacturing company that was making this product. They've been around for 11 years, and with our vision to turn it into a franchise. So we bought that small company in Richmond, Virginia in April 2007 with our plans to franchise, and we took a year to put our plans together with our legal and all the franchising requirements, our branding, and how we were going to go to market, put our technology in place. And June of 2008, we launched the franchise, and fortunately, we have not looked back yet. So it's been a great partnership with Alan and I, and we've just been growing ever since. Product sales and retail, as well as signing up new franchisees and awarding different territories around the country, has been great.
So who was a target client of Shelf Genie?
Target client, you know, the joke would be a target client is anyone with a kitchen. But it's really anyone that's having some challenges organizing their kitchen and they do not have glide outs or moving shelves in their existing cabinets. We're in the baby boomer age, so baby boomers are definitely a target audience. They're probably 50, 60% of our business. The other folks are in the 40s and 50s. But anybody that's having a challenge, they want easy access, more space, better utilization of their kitchen. Our installers, who are the last ones in, always get hugs and kisses and everything because people just love it when they leave.
So you guys aren't a like a retail product where I just go buy it and it's up to me. You guys are actually going to come out, do the consultation, help me figure out what I need, and then somebody's going to come put this stuff in for me.
That's 100% correct, Andy. We come out, we'll design a solution to meet your needs, because the things in your kitchen might not be the same things in my kitchen. So we make our glide outs different heights, different widths, with dividers, without dividers. If you have a blender or a food processor or a mix master or a lot of Tupperware and things like that, plastic containers, we'll devise a solution that meets your needs, your budget, and then we'll custom make it in our factories, and then we'll send out our professional certified installer. He will install it, and you'll have a lifetime warranty on most of our products.
So how do you take that solution to market? Do you guys do more of a national advertising type campaign, or do you have feet on the street that are out trying to bring this idea to people?
Well, we do a lot of national advertising. Our franchisees in all parts of the country advertise, probably in every media, a lot of print media. We do TV commercials. We do home shows. We're in the height of home show season right now. So on any given weekend, we could have 20 home shows going around the country, and people are booking in-home consultations during those home shows. And that's kind of what fuels the factory and all the sales. And our franchisees all have wrapped vehicles. They're a roaming billboard in their community. They're very active in civic organizations, chamber of commerce, things like that. But a lot of print media, TV, radio shows, and they're out doing brand recognition in the marketplace.
Gotcha. So, Barry, you had incredible success. I mean, in just a short period of time, your company's experienced really tremendous growth. Are there any secrets that you can look back at and say, these are kind of the success tips, secrets, strategies, whatever, that really caused this growth?
Well, one of the things is have a product or a service that somebody needs. That's definitely a good thing. But also surround yourself with the right people that share the vision. We're very selective at our corporate staff and our home office, and we have the best people, and our turnover rate is phenomenally low. And then it's all about the franchisees. And I was a franchisee of another concept prior to this business, and I knew about franchisee relationships. So we're really partners with our franchisees, and we're pretty accessible. We service their needs, and Alan and I and our staff are pretty much available, sometimes too available, and they can call us anytime. And those franchisees around the country are our partners. If they succeed, we succeed. So we're in this together, and we got a great group of people, and we go through a pretty extensive interview process, awarding a franchise to somebody that wants one, and then we help them and make sure they're successful.
I hear this theme a lot these days where people seem to be looking for people both within corporate structures and maybe even within franchising, where they're looking for more of a cultural fit than a skill set fit. How does that play out with Chef Genie?
Well, on the cultural fit, you have to be wanting to help people. So, you could make earn a living in a lot of different ways, and ours is you're helping people really add value to their lives every single day. And so while we're not looking for a skilled carpenter to be a franchisee, we're looking for a business person and somebody that could develop rapport with clients and train and teach their designers on building rapport with customers and designing a solution. So you have to be pretty people-oriented to be in our business. You have to be willing to talk to strangers at the supermarket when somebody comes up to you with your wrapped vehicle and asks a question. You can't say, "Well, I'm in a hurry. I have to get home." You have to take the time to talk to them, possibly book an appointment with them right there on the spot. So an innate personality to be people-focused and solution-focused to help other folks.
Gotcha. So looking at 2012, what do you feel like are some of the big challenges that you face this year?
Challenges is just with us right now is putting in the right processes to help our growth. And we're big in automation. Our business system is very automated and streamlined. We do everything electronically, but just internally and lead generation out externally. So with our franchisees, biggest challenge is talking to folks and generating leads and people that are interested in the product. Internally, it's putting processes together so we can automate and also have our growth without adding a lot of extra people. So we're big on technology, and working towards a better solution so we can have the growth that we want in 2012, and we think it's going to be a great year. January has been a phenomenal month for us. We're into the almost second week of February, and so far, so good.
So if I'm out there in the world and I'm thinking, hey, I'd like to make some money, I'd like to run a business, and something, you know, comes along like Shelf Genie, how would I know to raise my hand and say, hey, Barry, I think I could be a good person for your franchise?
Well, we have a business development process, and, you know, we want the folks to interview us as well as us interview them. So we'll go through an interview process. They'll fill out an application. Our business development folks will talk to people in length. They'll look at other franchise concepts, and we'll invite them in for Discovery Day in our facility at our home office. They'll spend probably 6 to 8 hours with us, meet our corporate staff, and we'll put on a presentation, and we'll show them about our business, and we'll get to meet them. So that's when you find out if you're going to gel with somebody on a personality standpoint. How are we going to get along? Because this is a long-term marriage. This is not a short-term potential divorce rate. So you have a franchise agreement, and it's 5 years with renewable options on both sides. So we do a pretty extensive discussion, them seeing how we operate, and we absolutely have them talk to other franchisees out in the marketplace where they can see how their success is, what's good, what's working, what's not working, and even go on some appointments with them once become a franchisee so they have training in the field as well as the home office.
Great. So I hear this theme again of personality fit and long-term marriage, et cetera. So help our audience understand who Barry Falcon is. Tell me a little bit about you. I mean, help me get to know you. Are you a family guy? Are you an adventure enthusiast? Are you a bowler? Tell me about you, Barry.
Well, my wife thinks I'm obsessed with work and bike riding. So I've been married 37 years to the same lady, which is pretty phenomenal these days. And she's a great part of my life as well as my business. Three great kids. I have a 29-year-old who's a pilot for major airlines here in Atlanta. You can probably guess who that is. I have a 22-year-old that's graduating from Ohio State in a couple of weeks in a business finance degree and very bright. And then I have an aspiring daughter who's a tennis player on a full tennis scholarship up at UNC in UNCG in Greensboro. And so we have a pretty athletic family. My wife is a great supporter, been taking the kids around for years, and I'm an avid cyclist. One of my sons is a type 1 diabetic, so I probably raise $50,000 a year for a juvenile diabetes research foundation. And I ride my bike probably 4,000 to 5,000 miles a year around the country raising money for charity. And I do a lot of laundry because of that. So when I'm not out having fun, I'm busy working. I'm working 24/7, take some time off here or there, very family-oriented. Close immediate family, and been living in East Cobb for 26 years, and love the area. The office is close to my house, of course, and we have a great time. It's all about having fun. I'm going to be celebrating a big birthday coming up here pretty soon, and I'm happy to be on this side of the ground.
I can understand that. So with the cycling, let me just hone in on that real quick, because obviously, I share a bit of a passion with you there. I took up triathlon last year, and so I've spent my share of time this last year on a bike. I definitely understand the idea of washing a lot of clothes. Tell me this. In your experience, has cycling and endurance sports of that nature, have they contributed to some of your success in business? In other words, have you seen things that you have to exhibit, personality traits, whatever, in cycling that have carried over into your business world?
Well, endurance sports are great, and I do triathlons as well. Did my first half Ironman last year in Augusta, so I'm right up there with you. And so, you know, being a triathlete or riding my bike, it's all about having some goals and objectives and planning towards those. So in business, I have a lot of energy, so I'm not getting tired. I don't get that 3 o'clock haze in my eyes. The big thing is, you know, we measure our staff. There's no big performance reviews. It's goals and objectives. And my my big quote is, results trump activities. So I don't care if you work 10 hours or 3 hours. It's all about results. And if I'm a cyclist and I'm racing in a triathlon, it's all about beating the clock or, coming in. I'm usually not on the podium, but I'm usually finishing. And I'm usually finishing okay in my age group. But I'm out to have a good time and just stay physically fit and healthy.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I'd like to definitely dig in more about this whole triathlon Ironman thing. That's a big passion of mine, but we only have so much time today, so that just gave me an excuse to have you back for another show, Barry.
Sounds great.
I appreciate the input you've given us with Chef Genie, but I want you to stick around if you can, because I want to come back and get some more insight from you on the franchise side of things. Do you mind hanging out for a few minutes while we chat with Roger?
No, be my pleasure.
Fantastic. So, Mr. Flynn, you are with the Flynn Group, and you're going to give us some knowledge and insight on the other side of the coin about how we actually go into franchising. Tell me a little bit about the Flynn Group and what you guys do.
Well, thanks, Andy. The Flynn Group, what I do and what we do is we are an independent outsourced franchise development firm, and basically operate in two spheres in the franchising world. And one side is on the franchisee prospect side, where I will work with potential candidates looking to go into franchising to help them find the right fit for them. People understand that, you know, it's a tough thing. There's probably over 3,000 or 4,000 franchises out there, and it can be a very daunting task when you go online and start sifting through all these concepts. And every time they click on one and they hit their email or something, then they're bombarded with calls, and they're totally confused at that point. So what service I provide there is to allow them to sit back, take a hard look at, you know, what is the right fit for them and help match them up with that potential franchise. And then on the development, the outsource side of the business that we do is we work with franchisors like Barry who maybe don't have a internal sales staff or internal development department, and they outsource it to us. And what we do is we take over their franchise development part of their company, and we work with all of their prospective new franchisees as they come through the system, screen them, find out if they're a right fit for the franchise, take them through the selection process, through the Discovery Day process, all the way to the awarding of the franchise. So that's the other service that we too provide.
Now, you're not just some guy who woke up one day and said, hey, I think I'm going to go and be a franchise advisor. You actually have a pretty strong background in franchising. Is that correct?
That's correct. I've been in the franchising world for about 18 years now, so pretty much my whole career. I have worked on both sides of the fence. I have been directly working for franchisors as their vice president of development, and then I have also been on the broker side working with candidates as well.
So don't be shy now. I've looked at your resume. You work with some pretty big names in the franchise industry as well. Tell me who some of those people are.
Well, I've worked with a couple that you may recognize would be Honey Baked Ham and Heavenly Ham, The Athlete's Foot, and then for Sendent Corporation that was in the hotel side of the business, which was Travelodge and Ramada Inn and Days Inn and Super 8 Motels. That sort of was the flags that we franchised there. Mr. Transmission on the automotive side. So that's a few that you may recognize.
Yeah, now we're getting into the meat of this thing. And these are some companies that have had some success in franchising, yes?
Yes, that's correct.
So who are a couple of your current clients? What are some of the current opportunities that you're working with?
Well, I've got two fantastic clients, both in separate segments, but in a lot of ways similar. The first that I work with is a tremendous concept called Stay at Home. It's the number one in compassionate care. They're based out of Knoxville, Tennessee. Fantastic organization, completely from a standpoint. You know, being in this industry as long as I've had, I've seen all aspects of franchising. And the most important thing for salespeople, which a lot of them will never admit or understand, is what happens on the back side of the business, the operations, the support, once you get that franchisee into the system and now they're a new franchise, how are they treated? In 18 years, I can honestly say I have never seen a franchisor that is so dedicated and pays so much attention to detail on training and supporting and making sure that the franchisee is successful when they enter their system, as Stay at Home has done.
And that's critically important. I mean, I think for some people, when they think of franchising, they almost see an evil head, like, oh, the franchisor is going to make it rich, but what about me as the franchisee? But a good franchisor is really only as successful as their franchisees, yes?
Well, that's definitely true. You know, I tell people in the process, you know, they need to ask a question to the franchisor when they're going through the process, and that is ask them, what business are you in? And that's a trick question in a way, because a lot of them would say, oh, well, you know, we're in the widgets business, or we're in the senior care business, or in Barry, we're in the shelving business. That's not their business. If they give the right answer and they say, actually, we're in the royalty business, because all franchisees will pay a monthly royalty on their sales to the franchisor. And if a franchisor understands that they're in the royalty business, you've got a very successful franchise and operation, because they make their money based on how much royalty is paid monthly by the people they have at the system. The better you do, the better they do. The misconception with a lot of franchisors is, oh, these franchise fees are expensive. You know, that's where they're making all their money. That's the furthest thing from the truth in the majority of the franchises out there. There's a few that, you know, yeah, they're all about the franchise fee, because those are typically the guys that are in a little financial trouble. They have to live from franchise fee to franchise fee. But a good solid franchisor, and Barry will attest to this, he probably doesn't make any profit on a franchise fee. Time he pays out his commissions to the development department, he pays for training, because that comes out of training the new prospect to get them out into the field. It usually costs them more to get someone started than they bring in on a franchise fee. So the thing is, it's all about the royalty. So the franchisor needs to understand that. And if they do, you found a good franchisor to investigate, because they've got your best interest at heart and they're looking out for you.
That's a really interesting point. And I read something recently on that, and you can correct me if my numbers are off here. Anytime you read anything on the internet, you never know if what you're getting is fact or not, right? But I read somewhere they were talking about a McDonald's franchise, and they said the average startup cost of a McDonald's franchise is somewhere in the range of about $700,000 to $1.5 million, actually the funds needed to get it up and off the ground. But McDonald's only gets a $45,000 franchise fee. That's a pretty small number. You can't make a living on a $45,000 fee for something that's $700,000 to $1.5 million unless you really are driving profitability on the backside of this business.
That's correct. And if you look at franchises that have been sold in the past, that sales number comes off of a factor or a multiple of their ongoing royalty revenue. That's where those big numbers come to play. I mean, you have a company that's maybe doing, you know, $100 million a year in sales and have a 6% royalty, you know, that could equate to a, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 sell price when someone comes in and buys that owner out. So it's all based on that monthly royalty revenue.
Very nice. So how would somebody know, I'll ask you the same question I asked Barry, how would somebody know that one of these companies that you represent, that's a good thing for me? I'm looking for a business opportunity. Why would I raise my hand and say, hey, one of these would probably be a really good fit for me versus I'm going to go try to start my own widget business?
Well, you know, franchising is a system. And if you want to go into business for yourself, the way to go is to look into the franchising model, because the franchising model has already been tried and proven, and they have all the systems in place. Franchises is not for the free-willed person who wants to reinvent the wheel, so to speak. Franchising, and that's why franchisors are very cautious of who they let into their system, because they're looking for that person that can follow a program, can follow a system, because it is put together. And if you go into these systems and you follow their procedures and their systems, you know, the percentage of times that you're going to be successful far outweighs the failures. When you take a look at franchises, and Barry will probably tell you this, the franchisees that he's had and franchisors that I know have had that don't do well, when you go in and do an evaluation and you find out, well, they're not following the system. They're trying to do it their own way or reinvent it. That's why you pay that 5 or 6, 7% royalty every month, is because, you know, equate it back to starting it on your own. You start a business on your own, you have to build that business. You have to do all the research, the development, the product knowledge, the marketplace, the marketing, the industry. You got to do all of that yourself, which takes away from time from growing your business, or you have to hire someone to fill those categories. So now you get into salaries and payroll, which is a lot more than the 5-6% you're paying to a franchisor. And that's what their people do at the corporate level, is they stay up to speed on all the changes in the industry, the latest laws, requirements, so that you, the franchisee, spend your days and your weeks growing your business.
So let me bring Barry back in at this point, because I want to look at both sides. As we've been talking a little bit about being a franchisee, but let's talk about as a franchisor. So I have a business, and I make widgets, and I've got one shop, and I'm doing pretty good, but I'm trying to figure out, how do I go to that next level? Barry, especially since you've been down this road, how do you pull that trigger? How do you know I'm ready to franchise?
Well, one is, if you have a good concept, you're looking to franchise because you're going to expand on maybe other people's money. But realistically, you really want to get to the marketplace fast. If you're the franchisee, or you have a new concept that you want to franchise, you want to see if you can have enough systems in place where it could really grow exponentially. And in our case, you get a franchisee that's really successful, he's just looking to take over the next territory or expand his current real estate or his market. So we have many, many franchisees that have multiple locations. And ours is a home-based business, but our top performers have 3, 4, 5, 6 locations, and that's a population count, and they own the whole market. You know, we have a franchisee that owns the entire market of Boston, one that owns the entire market of Philadelphia. So they're running it as a big business, and they do very well, and they have staff and people and processes in place. And then you have a franchisee that has it as, they have lower expectations, so they have one market, and they're just happy doing their own thing one at a time. And so when we looked at this business, we had some dealers, and then we said the way to really grow this exponentially is do it by franchising, to have people around the country promoting your product. And we're on the royalty model, as Roger mentioned, but we also manufacture product. And so our business model is, royalties covers overhead at the home office and things like that, but we're really a product and service company, so we're manufacturing product. And most people don't have the capital to get into the starting of the manufacturing facility.
Roger, what would you add to that? I mean, how would I take my business and say, it's time to franchise?
I get this call a couple times a month. People are interested in franchising, and they don't understand the complexities of starting a franchise. Number one, we're governed by the FTC. So there's rules, there's regulations, there's disclosure laws, there's registration laws in certain states. Some people have an idea and it's like, oh, we'll go out here and franchise it. What they don't understand, it's a pretty time-consuming and financial investment to even get it launched. But first, you need to make sure that you have a concept that can be duplicated. That means you've got to have that concept. You've been doing it for a while, and you've got a proven model of success that you can duplicate. And like Barry said, you've got to have the processes already in place. You've got to have the system in place. That's why you'd want a franchise, because you've gotten to the point where you've grown a strong business, and you feel like, hey, everybody around the country needs this business, but I don't have the capital to go open 100 offices, in 50 different states. So that's why you look at the franchising model.
Now, proven success record, systematized as well, I take it, because I see some people that have businesses and they are the business. The business lives and thrives because of their talent, their personality, their whatever. But you've got to be able to put this into a system that someone else who may or may not have your particular skill set or your smiling face can go out and do this as well. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Absolutely, 100% correct. And so when, if it's just you in the business, you're not building any equity because you can't sell that business because it's just you. And so when you retire or you want to move on, there's really nothing to sell or to market. And in our business, we set it up so it's duplicatable, so our franchisees can travel, go on vacation, and manage their business through the internet. So with designers and installers, their business works while they're not there. And so it's kind of like the executive model. And we set that up for that reason so it could scale and you don't have to be there. So when it's time to exit, you're selling a business. You're not selling me, the franchisee.
That's a great point. I'm a huge fan of Robert Kiyosaki, and he talks about the differences in the cash flow quadrant, he calls it, between an employee, a self-employed person, a business owner, and an investor. And there is a difference between that self-employed, I make widgets, I have my own widget company, and that I'm a business owner. I can step away from that business. It'll continue to grow and operate. And as a franchisor, this is a step to help me get to that business owner level, is it not?
Yes. Yes, and adding on what Barry said, most franchises out there, if someone's looking to enter the franchising world, there's not a lot of franchises where you become a so-called owner-operator to where you buy a franchise and you go out and you do the work. You're the one in the truck. Most models, no matter what they are, basically what you're investing in is a marketing business. You're building a territory, you're managing people, and you're growing a business. You're not the hands-on. When I was at Mr. Transmission, for instance, we never wanted a mechanic to come through the pipeline as a potential franchisee because we knew as soon as you put a mechanic into a franchise, he's going to spend all of his time under the hood of the car. That's not what you want in an owner. You want an owner that's out in the community, that's involved, that's networking and growing his business. Same thing with stay at home. You know, that's the main thing about the owners there. They have three main functions. One is managing and recruiting their caregivers that actually do the work. The other function is the referral marketing, building their network to where people will refer to them, the clients. And then the third component is actually going into the client's home and doing the evaluation to actually get the contract. That's the management scenario in that type of franchise. And it's probably the same in Barry's business as well. He's looking for franchisees that are people-oriented and good people persons because they've got to interact with people daily. And that have some sales and marketing skills because they've got to get out and, you know, they've got to live this 24/7. You know, they're at the Christmas party and somebody asks what you do, you know, the person ends up usually walking away from a good franchisee because he won't shut up about what he does. You know, he lives it, he sleeps it, he wakes up in the middle of the night thinking about it. That's the type of owners franchises look for.
Yeah, that's a great point because when you start thinking about looking for a business owner, something that I hear a lot of people talk about these days is their passion for their business. And I'm not saying you can't be passionate about what you do, but, you know, Barry, I'm just kind of thinking about shelving and kitchen space, and I got to believe that's not necessarily passion for you, rather being able to service the community and look for the cure for type 1 diabetes and things of that nature. Those are your passions, and the business is a mechanism to get you there.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things when we tell prospective franchisees that are coming to visit us, we always say, you know, when you wake up on Monday morning, are you going to be happy doing what you're doing? And are you going to be happy helping people in the kitchen, solving problems, and seeing smiling faces? And, you know, versus, as Roger mentioned, do you want to fix a transmission in a car all day? So ours is about providing solutions for folks. And to me, I'm passionate about the business because we're helping people and also passionate about just living life in general.
Love that idea. I get passionate about living life in general, especially when it's not working.
Every morning when you wake up, right?
Yeah, exactly. Of course, you know, Barry, I'm sure you can talk about this, that every morning you wake up when you know that's going to entail a bike ride or a run or a swim, it's a whole different perspective to starting a day.
Right. I'm up at 5 a.m. usually, and I'm hitting the trails by 5:30, running my 5 or 6 miles in the morning before I head to the office.
Yeah, and it's cold this time of year out there.
That's what gloves and a hat's for.
All right. So, guys, go back to the process of franchising here real quick, because this is a really large undertaking from what I understand. And there are a lot of considerations. There's the speed at which you want to do it. There's deciding how you're going to divide the territory up. Fees, the legal is a mountain in and of itself. Plus, you got the federal agencies and potentially state agencies. How do you wade through all of that?
Well, you get a franchise consultant or coach or somebody that's been there, done that to help you. Maybe a guy like Roger or other companies out there, but it's absolutely correct. There's a lot of legal documentation. There's things you can say, things you can't say. You have to be trained on that. You know, you don't want to tell somebody something about a price or a cost, and 3 years later they'll sue you because something went wrong and you gave them a number. And so franchising is very by the book, so to speak. And you have to go through the legal, the branding, the trademark, systems. And usually most people don't do it alone, or if they do, they take way too much time. So if you want to get to market fast, you're going to get an experienced franchise coach, consultant, company, or person, been there, that done that, to help you sort through the legal, the financial, and the branding. And it does require some capital.
Roger, let me ask this question, because I was really intrigued by this. When we talk about these systems and operations, I know operation manuals are a big part of putting together a franchise. I read a blurb that said that when you're creating your operations manual, though, you have to be careful to avoid creating an agency. What do they mean by that?
That's a good question. You know, what you're trying to do in an operations manual is give the franchisee a roadmap to how to handle and operate their business. You know, you don't want everybody to be robots, you know, like you would have in an agency. You want people to have a little bit of flexibility and freedom to insert their own personalities into the operations. You want to give them that bullet points and that direction where to stay within a certain category, but have some freedom and flexibility to put your own touch on it. That's probably what you're talking about there, versus you know, making everything just the same, down to every word that's said, and you know, every movement. You know, then it becomes a little fake. You want to give people the opportunity to be themselves in it. But operations manuals are very important, because when a franchisee runs up against a certain situation, he's got to have a place to go and reference that situation and how to handle it. And that's where your operations manuals come in.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Bear, how do you guys deal with that freedom? How do you express to someone, hey, here are the things that we expect you to hold a standard for, and here are the places where you can be creative?
Well, you know, in most cases, we're, in the last couple of years, all the new ideas of any great things have come from our franchisees. You know, after the first couple of years, we just pretty much said the Barry and Allen show is now over. And so we got it started, but we give franchisees, we have monthly conference calls. We're looking for best practices, anything that's working in the field. You know, the outside-the-box technology is just talking about that. But any good ideas are open. So we have monthly calls with our top leaders. The leaders have calls with their franchisees, and anything that's working, we want to share with the system. So if somebody tries something new, has a new idea for a product, it's we're all ears, and so some things don't work, and so we'll try those in our corporate locations to test them out. But we welcome ideas, and while we have a franchise manual, an operations manual, we don't want the entrepreneurs that are so one-sided that are going to reinvent the wheel, as Roger mentioned. But we want new ideas, and the best things that we've done in the last probably year or two have all come from franchisees. They've met somebody, they came up with an idea, we looked at it, we analyzed it, and then we expanded on it, all from franchisees. Somebody said we need a little magazine-type thing. We had a 50-page, PowerPoint presentation that was laminated. Somebody says, we need a magazine. And so we went from a 50-page, $50 manual out in the field to show products to a $2 magazine. And it's a great marketing effort. Came from the franchisees out in the field.
Very nice.
Yeah, adding on what Barry just said, the stay-at-home franchise that I work with out of Knoxville, fantastic organization. I mentioned to you, I kid John Batchelor, the CEO and founder of the company, because I said, you know, I told him I've been in this business a long time. I've seen a lot of operations manuals. They're usually, you know, a pretty thick book. Not with John. Part of the item 7 in the startup cost with John is you better have a bookshelf, because he's got 9 volumes of the operations manuals. He's really covered everything. But again, going back to that, last year, Stay at Home had 53 initiatives, and those initiatives came from the field. Some of them were as simple as changing a line or a box on one of the forms. Some of them were more in depth. But John's philosophy, which I agree with, is he says if you're not changing, you're not growing. So he's getting input from the field, because franchisors may have best intentions when they put a policy into place, but they're no longer in the field like they were in the beginning. Things change quickly. So, you know, they do weekly calls with franchisees, weekly conference call, go to meeting call every Friday morning, and they get that input from the franchisees. You know, what do you need from us? Okay, we'll take it, work on it, you keep growing your business. That's what you look for in good franchisors.
That's important. You need that kind of guidance coming from the top, and they got to be listening to the feedback out there on the street, because you're right, it is a changing marketplace. It's all the time something different, and I've seen many times the thing that gets thought up in a boardroom seems like a great idea on paper, but in practice and execution, it is a horrible idea.
Yeah, that's true. You can be, what's the old saying, out of sight, out of mind, or out of touch. If you're not out there face-to-face with the customers daily, and you've built your organization rather large, and all of a sudden you're out of touch with some things that's happening. So you need to be able to have that open mind to listen to the people in the field and then take a look at it and make changes where needed.
So let's say that I'm interested in franchising my business, and obviously I need a lot of help because there's a lot of hurdles to jump through. Roger, let me start with you. How would someone go about getting in touch with you and finding out how you could help them through the process?
Well, they can email me or call me, and we can talk about it. Typically how I work would be on a retainer basis to help them get through it. I have good franchise attorneys that I work with that will handle the documents. But that's only one area that they need to do is the franchise documents. They also need to develop their training, their support, their operations manuals. There's good companies out there that'll do that, but you still need somebody that knows who they are to facilitate it and take you around. So they can call me. My direct line is area code 770. Now, you got me at a lost word. I never call myself, so I have to remember now.
You got to fish your own business card out there. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'll give a different number. They can call me at 678-232-2361.
Fantastic. And what about an email address?
They can email me at rflynn59@gmail.com.
And is there a website that I can check out the Flynn Group?
Don't have a website at this point. Typically hadn't had a need for it because when I work with the franchisors that I work with, I go under their website, their server, and actually use their email. So it looks as if I'd work directly with that company.
I see. So people aren't finding you through the website anyway.
That's correct.
Got it. Fair enough. And Barry, how about you? If I'm interested in having a Shelf Genie franchise, how do I go about starting the dating process with you?
Sure. Well, we love to date folks. So shelfgenie.com, www.shelfgenie.com is our website. You'll see all kinds of franchise information on there and interactive kitchens. My direct number is 770-955-4377. And my email address is Barry, that's B-A-R-R-Y, at shelfgenie.com. And you could reach me there anytime. Comes right to my phone. So we'll look out to hear from you.
Well, Tim, this has been fantastic information here today. I think we could again go a whole nother show just getting into some of the details of how one goes about actually getting the franchise off the ground, both from selecting as a franchisee and opening up as a franchisor. But before we wrap up today, we always like to get back to the theme of our show, which is breaking the rules of conventional thinking. And this should be a layup for you, Barry, with some of the Ironman involvement, but you may choose to go a different route. But let me ask you guys, what is something in your life or in your business that you guys feel is critical to your success but kind of goes against that traditional norm, that conventional thought process that many people guide themselves by?
Well, you know, I guess our staff is really important to us. So we have a pretty close group. So I guess, you know, from a Renegade standpoint, we're big into having fun and realistically doing surprises. So, holiday time in our office, the staff never knows what's going to happen. We did a mystery dinner night. They thought we were having a big meeting and a party at the office, and around came a bus, and we went to four restaurants, one after another, and they were really surprised. But it's really having a team. And so we're big on you know, having fun, working hard, and playing hard, but definitely outside the box thinking when it comes to taking care of our staff.
That's great, because I have to say conventional thought processes at business and work isn't fun. So I love to hear when somebody makes it great and a good experience for their team. Roger, what about you?
Well, probably the difference between me and the average person in business is I don't have that dreaded morning commute. My office is in my basement of my home, which makes it a nice commute. I have a couple of flights of stairs to go down, and I don't work conventional hours. That's the neat thing about it, because if I need to call someone at midnight because it's 9 o'clock in California on the West Coast, I'm working at 9 o'clock. If I've got to call someone, you know, no matter what, evenings, weekends, I don't have standard office hours. And it's a lot of fun, too, because, you know, I don't have to worry about it. If I got my sweats on, my shorts on, whatever, I don't have to get dressed to go to work. You know, it makes it fun and unique. And I know a lot of people would love to have that opportunity. And sometimes, you know, some of the franchises allow you to work from home and have a home office. And, you know, it's very liberating and makes it a neat concept, because, you know, if you get the idea at 10 o'clock in the morning that you want to go out and take a walk, go to the gym or whatever, you get up and do it. So you're a renegade in that aspect, because you manage your time, but you do what you want to do when you want to do it.
Gentlemen, once again, I want to thank you both for being here today, sharing some great information with myself and with our audience out there. Barry Falcon from Shelf Genie, Roger Flynn from the Flynn Group. I'm Andy Lowe from Renegade Concepts, and here at Renegade Radio, we want to thank you all for listening in and being part of the Atlanta Business Radio X family. We're here each and every week to help you guys realize the opportunity lies in the impossible, but you have to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking. So until next time.